BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Wednesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. On it, Real or No Real with Sarah Cox, including some fascinating information about David Tennant. The Twitter game is back. Follow me, follow you, but who follows who? That awkward moment when you realise that one celebrity doesn't follow another and they were supposed to be friends. And Chris pitches some new movie ideas to Daniel Radcliffe.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio
1. So Daniel Radcliffe was on with Grimmy this morning, part of the educating Grimmy to try and get him to like films. I'd even go as far to say as I hate them. So Daniel Radcliffe on this show at 1:45 this afternoon. Chris had a little chat with him earlier. What's that? That's my alarm.
Why is your alarm going off?
Sorry. I'll explain. So that's my alarm to remind me to do something, which doesn't normally go off on air. Sorry about that. You know my friend Unlucky Gary?
Oh, yeah.
My unluckiest friend Gary. Everyone's got one. Gary is mine. Bad things happen to him. I actually went on a flight with him at the weekend, which is brave, to Kavos.
Why would you take him there?
Well, what do you mean?
But that's only going to cause you a lot of trouble, potentially.
I've got to admit, I was a little bit of a nervous flyer. Because if bad things happen, they will happen to Gary. Anyway, the reason the alarm went off, he's got into a bad habit of going for an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet every lunchtime. So every day at this time, it's the start of his lunch break. Now, he has no willpower. So as his friend... that alarm is to remind me to send him a daily text saying,
"Oh, come on,"
saying, "Don't go to Mr. Wu's."
No way.
Not even joking.
So this goes off every day at this time, and you then text him to say,
"Don't go to Mr. Wu's." And then ten times, he'll send me a picture of the Chinese buffet that he's eating. So it fails.
Why can't he avoid it? What's the problem?
I don't know. And then after work, he's also going in there after a couple of pints. You know what it's like. You get a couple of pints after work, you want food. And it's now got to that point where, as he walks in, they say, "Saveloy and chips." Even people that he doesn't recognise as serving him before.
From the from Chinese?
Yeah, well, they do a bit of everything. It's one of those.
So and he's one of those people who goes to an all-you-can-eat Chinese and eats chips.
Yes, he is.
Right.
But that's awful, isn't it? Like, it's like when I got a Christmas card from my local Indian restaurant. Mm. It's saying that you go there a lot.
I like this thing, though, that you've taken responsibility and had to set reminders in your phone.
I'm just trying to help Unlucky Gary.
But I've started doing this with reminders where I'll send a message to me in the future to remind me, like, not something that's happening on the day. It'll be like, just be aware, Mother's Day's in about a week's time from now.
All right, and you'll set the alarm.
But I'll set reminders in my phone, which are like messages to me. But I like that you're doing it for a friend. I reckon loads of people set these kind of reminders.
Yeah, so that was my alarm, because I'll send the text now.
So, and what are you wording this to? I mean,
It's the same every day. Don't go to Mr. Wu's.
Don't go there.
Yeah. But that's bad. Like, he went in there last night and they went, "Saveloy and chips," and he'd hardly got through the door.
Yeah.
It's just, he needs to get out of this habit.
Too much.
He's worried about he's putting on weight. It's like that, you know, Jack Nicholson in that cafe in As Good As It Gets. Have you seen that?
No.
Great film. He doesn't have to ask anymore. They just serve it right up. It's bad time.
Saveloy and chips from the local Chinese.
I know. Loads of people set reminders too far in the future so that when they come up, they have absolutely no idea what they're for.
Yeah.
See, I know where I am with Unlucky Gary's one. It's always about the Chinese buffet. He's just been on. He says, "Thanks for that." It's all right. Trying to make it better for you. I think he might be there. Yeah,
of course he is.
He's saying, "I'm thinking of writing to the manager saying, do not let me in." That's not a bad shout.
Saveloy and chips.
Can you do that? Do you think that if you email or write to the manager of somewhere where you're just stuck in a rut and you're going all the time?
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Actually go there and be like, "I'm sorry, you can't come in today to the Chinese buffet. I think you've had enough."
Can we not call said Chinese buffet and ask, just say, look,
Shall we
represent Unlucky Gary.
Yeah, my friend Unlucky Gary McFly will definitely be in today about 6 p.m. Just refuse him entry.
Yeah, refuse this man entry, please, and send a picture. That's a good idea. Let's do that.
What, like a kind of most wanted picture?
Yeah, he's not committed any crime, but we just don't think he should go there.
He kind of has to his hips.
Yeah, well, you put that on the poster.
Okay. For crimes to his hips. That was Miley Cyrus. Oh, I wish it was Hannah Montana, the movie we're watching tonight at Grimmy's. We're going around there later. It's fantasy instead, apparently.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Last week, I discovered what could be the greatest film of all time. It's already been on in America, and it was trending worldwide on Twitter while it was being shown. The film is Sharknado. This is happening. It's happened. A load of sharks get swept up in a tornado, and then it terrorizes Los Angeles. Here's the trailer.
Sharks. Tornado. Sharknado. Enough said.
We're gonna need a bigger chopper.
We're gonna stand and fight.
Tara Reid in the sci-fi original movie Sharknado premieres next Thursday at 9.
The voice you heard there, the girl voice that needs a bigger chopper, is Tara Reid.
Mm, the one from American Pie.
That's her. And probably, I think, one of her first roles since.
Probably, yeah.
But then hasn't she been in all those? There's about 100 American Pie films that you've never known existed.
I found like, another one the other day.
There's so many of them. I mean, I know there was like American Pie, and I know there's like two or three, but I think it goes up to 11 or 12.
Well, they do, because a lot of them are straight to DVD, aren't they?
Yeah. Is she in all of those?
I like how slowly the cast sort of dwindles from each one. You know what I mean?
I enjoy that as well.
Another one every time.
Oh, he's not in it anymore. He decided not to sign up for American Pie 13. How many are there?
Just trying to research.
Anyway, Tara's taken a bit of time away from doing all the American Pie films and done Sharknado.
Yes.
So Daniel Radcliffe was in earlier this morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. You didn't call him Harry Potter at any point, did you?
No, I didn't. Oh, I avoided it. I thought it was... I'll be honest with you. I thought it was something I was going to do by accident. And also,
Harry.
I had it in my head, Frodo, as well. I couldn't get out my head, Frodo. I was like, don't call him Frodo.
Do not, no.
Wrong person. Film and yeah. Everything.
So we've got some more ideas, because Sharknado was a raving success in America. It did really, really well. And it's on here in September on the Sci-Fi Channel. I can't wait.
Mm.
So we're just thinking... Sharknado's done well. What other film ideas could we pitch to Daniel Radcliffe? Is it with the idea of him being in it or him financing it?
Oh, absolutely. No, my view on it was Daniel Radcliffe's in the building. This is my perfect opportunity to run a few ideas past him, see if he'd like to get involved.
Okay, good. 12 American Pie films, says Natalie in Landud. No, she hasn't seen them all.
No, so, no, other people are saying 13. In fact, there's all sorts of numbers coming in.
So that 12 or 13 includes all the crap ones in between the wedding and the reunion where the proper cast were in it.
There'll probably be another one, you know, in a couple of weeks.
When it gets towards 6 or 7, you're like, who are they?
Yeah.
They've never
yeah.
been in this.
Yeah.
Who are they? Now, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you'll know I'm a bit obsessed with the films on this Sci-Fi Channel. There was Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, which I talked about a few years ago. That was a classic.
Mm.
Apparently, there's another one called Snowageddon coming up. Awesome. Sophie from Bournemouth has just found the trailer for Sharknado to show her boyfriend and can't actually believe that's happening. It's been made.
It's happened.
It's been on TV. So in the light of Sharknado doing so well in America, can't wait for it to be released here. Why would you miss an opportunity if Daniel Radcliffe was coming into Radio 1 with Grimmy this morning to not come in and pitch some of your film ideas?
This is exactly it.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Daniel Radcliffe, hello.
Hello.
I heard you talking earlier about Sharknado.
I did, yeah.
Which we're completely obsessed by.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's it's sort of like, it's the logical conclusion of all filmmaking.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just, I feel like the last 100 years of cinema has led to this point.
Yeah.
The only type of films I want to watch are one that's so good that I sit there in silence for the whole time, just mesmerised, or so bad that I laugh at it and, you know, talk about it with my friends.
So Sharknado 2 might be a goer for you?
A Sharknado... I think it has to happen.
He is right. With your mates, these films are great talking points because you can sit there and tweet along if you're not with them, or just sit in a room with them like we're going to do with Grimmy tonight around his house and just kind of share the joke.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting, though, and this is right at the start, he's already expressed an interest, if there was a sequel,
yeah.
in actually being in it. We're talking Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes, here. Can we just all just rewind for a minute? It's Daniel Radcliffe who likes the idea of Sharknado and wants to see it. So with that in mind...
Yes. I thought what I'd like to do is pitch you some ideas for films that I can see you in.
Great.
If you're cool with that.
Yeah.
So this one, inspired by Sharknado... because I was thinking along the lines of, and some of the listeners were texting in with like Lizard Blizzard, Hurricane 9,
yeah.
that kind of thing. But I settled on, and I'll give you the build up. In a world where climate change has become the biggest threat to the planet, nature is about to fight back in the most unpredictable and deadly way. Tsunamadillo.
Yeah, I like it. You could have that or volcano.
But with actual voles?
Yeah, tons of voles erupting.
I hadn't thought of that.
Spread for thousands of miles over the land. Either of these.
Okay, right, well, I'll give you the plot.
I'm in.
A boat carrying thousands of armadillos off the coast of Mexico is struck by lightning, startling the armadillos who jump in the air. A freak strong wind blows all the armadillos into the sea, where a 200-foot tsunami gathers the armadillos in a terrifying wave. That's heading to the coast of LA. I thought if we do LA, we get a free holiday.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's ridiculous about it? It's not half bad. Like, I don't think, like, it's not going to be, like, let's be real about this. It's not going to be any less ridiculous than Sharknado.
No.
Like, so I would definitely watch that film. Like, if you make that film, I will.
Okay.
You know what? I can maybe finance that film.
Oh, even
let's
better.
See, let's get this going.
Well, he's talking about money now.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
That's really good. Oh, I've just found out everyone was talking about the premiere of the movie Sharknado on TV. No one actually bothered to watch it. Let's not put us off. So he's quite keen about this, isn't he? Mm. Saying that he'll even finance it. And he wanted to hear more.
Destruction is everywhere as the armadillos rain down on LA. Mm. Only one man can save the day. You play Thomas Schaffernacker, a weatherman turned hero.
I know that weather forecaster. His name always makes me laugh on BBC.
Yeah.
Carry on.
A weatherman turned hero who not only saves LA, but saves his love interest, Lucy Verasami. Do you know her? She's a weather girl.
I didn't get
played
that
by Emma Watson. I thought you could maybe give her a call. After they are separated by armadillos and water, can Schaffernacker save the day, or will it be armadillo over for everyone?
Oh, you sound keen
on this.
I really am keen on it, and also you've managed to get in a really pleasing amount of armadillo puns.
Yeah,
throughout. Yeah. It's not just. It doesn't end. Okay. You know, with the title.
Right. I think we can pencil that in
for January.
Oh, he's so positive about all this.
This is a great start in my eyes.
So, what does he like? He likes Tsunamadillo.
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, he's quite keen to finance that as and
volcano, possibly.
Yeah, but loves Thomas Schaffernacker, I didn't expect him to know that one.
No.
I love that. Daniel Radcliffe's a fan of Thomas Schaffernacker, the BBC weatherman.
Oh, see, conflicting reports again about Sharknado. I've seen it. It's every bit as good as Mega Shark. Watch out for the comments of the bus driver on the bridge. Can't wait. Okay, but, so you gave him one final idea.
I gave him a couple more ideas. This was my next one. Bargain Hunt, the movie.
Yes, now I'm in. Yeah.
You play Tom Wannacott.
Yeah.
Tim Wannacott. Yeah, that's a good point. Got his name wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry. You play Tim Wannacott. I'll change the script. A magical time lord that has been sent to Earth on the search for the ultimate bargain. Planet Earth has been split into two, the reds and the blues, each side battling each other to the death in the hunt of the ultimate bargain. Bargain Hunt, out now.
Yeah, I'm that and Tsunamadillo,
you're in.
I'm with you, yeah, 100%.
Okay, cool.
I think the potential for Bargain Hunt is really huge.
Mm.
We'll have to find a cameo role for the real Tim Wannacott.
Well, everyone loves Bargain Hunt.
I've never met someone who doesn't like Bargain Hunt.
Okay. So possible financing of Tsunamadillo, that could be a goer.
We need to talk about that.
Legend. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very
much.
Daniel. Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
He knows a lot about daytime TV,
yeah,
doesn't he? Not so busy lately, maybe. Well, he knows who Thomas Schaffernacker is off the BBC Weather.
Mm.
He corrected you on the right name of the person off Bargain Hunt. So I'm thinking, if he's going to say yes to Bargain Hunt the movie, we could be like Holmes Under the Hammer the movie,
yeah.
Jeremy Kyle Show the movie.
There's a whole genre in this, isn't it?
Cash in the Attic the movie. This is brilliant news. Loose Women the movie.
I've just seen this.
That needs to happen.
That could be the new Sex in the City, couldn't it?
A few people are saying that. Ben from Birkenhead, Lee in Essex. I like that. Fair play to Daniel Radcliffe as well. And fair play for saying that he'd give a lot of his considerable monies to some of these projects.
Yeah.
What do you think was his favourite?
Definitely the
Tsunamadillo?
Tsunamadillo one, yeah.
He was really keen on that, wasn't he?
But then I think this whole daytime movie genre is a goer. I think that could be...
So based on daytime TV.
Yeah, Don't Get Done, Get Dom, the movie.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So tonight, as Radio 1's movie week continues, me and Chris are off to Grimmy's house a bit later to watch some fantasy.
I'm slightly concerned about it, though.
Why so?
Well, just just normally on your own for that kind of...
I know. I was going to say, how do you feel watching it with Grimmy and me? Because I wouldn't normally do that. Normally I'd be kind of riding solo, if you know what I'm saying. There wouldn't be a group of us there.
Is it going to be weird if
I don't
we're
know.
There, together? It's an odd one, this, because I'm surprised they've been so open about it.
I can't believe Radio 1 are covering this genre. But anyway,
I suppose it's fair, isn't it? I mean, if they are doing movie, I guess.
Yeah, but it's all types of movie, so... 6 p.m. tonight, we're all watching a fantasy film, and we'll be tweeting along as well from Grimmy's house at BBC R1 as we educate Grimmy about films. Surely he must have seen these. He says he's only seen five films.
Who's picked this again?
He did.
So...
it's one he hasn't seen. It's 6 o'clock right. tonight. We'll be tweeting along.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So it's part three of the Jay-Z interview tonight. That's what I was thinking about in my head.
Yeah.
If you've not heard any of it yet, it's on the BBC Radio iPlayer or the Radio 1 website. Just a really frank, open discussion, because the thing is with Jay-Z and with Beyonce, they're a little bit kind of a bit shrouded in mystery, aren't they? You don't really know that much about them. You see occasional pictures. You don't hear that many interviews. So this is just a really, really... kind of surprising in parts, things to listen to. It's Zane Lowe talking to Jay-Z at Abbey Road Studios in London, 7 p.m. tonight. Watch the video on the Radio 1 website or YouTube and listen to it here from 7 o'clock.
It's so good. So I was watching part two earlier today, and what I quite like about it being in separate parts is they were very friendly in the first one, but they're getting more and more friendly. There is an element of sort of watching how it unfolds like that.
What, so they're just getting more and more friendlier?
I don't know. I felt today they were getting on a lot more than yesterday. And they clearly get on. I'm not saying there's a soap opera element to this. But I do like how it's progressing.
Do you think on the last bit, Beyonce walks in? Hey, guys!
I'd love that as a finale. It's amazing seeing those two talk, though. Because Zane Lowe knows a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I mean...
and also, I think the artist really appreciates that he knows so much stuff.
Yeah, and you can see Jay-Z at times sort of just listening to Zane Lowe and being quite... you can see in his expression, in his face and that, how interested he is in Zane Lowe as well.
Yeah.
So it is really cool seeing these two sort of legends combine.
So it's tonight at 7 o'clock on BBC Radio 1, Jay-Z with Zane Lowe. It's part three. I wonder what's going to happen on the cliffhanger on Thursday.
I hope there's no arguments or
so
anything
do I.
coming up, you know?
But there might be.
Mm.
I've seen my family at the weekend and some of them want to go to the beach. I'm not keen.
Why?
I like to look at the beach, but I don't actually want to go on it. I like to know that it's there. Oh, that looks nice. Look, there's some sand and some sea. Well, actually, where we're going is probably going to be Bournemouth. Oh, actually, I can't see the sand because there's so many people on it.
Yeah.
Can you reserve a patch or something? Because it's going to be well busy.
No, they don't do VIP on the beach, Scott.
Do they not?
No. There's not a roped-off area for
like
people
in pubs
like
and stuff. In pubs where they put their reserve signs down when there's no one actually there at the table. Do it on the beach.
So has anyone thought of that as a little venture, a little VIP area of the beach?
I'd love that.
Like a roped-off...
I don't want ropes. I think ropes says something about a person. I think it's... that looks down on people, a rope... I don't like a rope.
I imagine you to be like that. If you're on Bournemouth Beach and it's busy, I imagine you to be there on a sun lounger and just a small rope.
I don't want
all
a rope.
Around you.
I do not want a rope.
If you see Scott Mills on Bournemouth Beach for the weekend,
what am I going to do? Bring my own rope? I think it's unnecessary in nightclubs. It creates, I don't know, it's just us and them, isn't it? I don't like it. You know all the people you see in the guest list all smug, like, oh, we're the other side of the rope. Go, get lost. Anyway, so yeah, I like to look at the beach. Don't want to actually go on it. It gets everywhere. I don't
do you
know
like what? It. I'm sort of like that with the sea. I know people like to go swimming in the sea. I'm like that with the sea. I love the sea. I love being there, looking at it, but I rarely go in.
Don't want to go in. I'll see it and look at it. I'm not interested.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, I'm Scott Mills. Got the official chat update at 3:30. Real or no real with Sarah Cox at 3:10. And now, follow me, follow you. But who follows who? It's that awkward Twitter game where we see if celebrities are really friends or not. Because how do you know you're real friends? If you follow someone on Twitter. If you're not, you ain't friends. Favourites from the past include Will.i.am, following all the voice judges, but not Reggie Yates or Holly Willoughby. Ouch. David Guetta, following all the singers he's collaborated with, so Neo, Usher, Rihanna, but doesn't follow Jessie J. Oh, awkward. Scott Mills follows Zayn Lowe, but Zayn Lowe doesn't follow Scott Mills, or didn't until I said it on the radio, then it was swiftly corrected. And the ex-Spice Girls all follow each other, except Victoria Beckham, who doesn't follow any of the Spice Girls. Harsh. So, are you ready for today's game? You can play along at home. Follow me, follow you, but who follows who? So, these are our new findings. So, everyone knows this song. It's the UK's official number one. So, it's Robin Thicke and Pharrell and T.I., with Blurred Lines, but all these mates, are they really mates or not? What do you think? So, does Robin Thicke follow Pharrell? Pharrell's on the song. That's him. Does Robin Thicke follow Pharrell?
I'm saying yes.
No, that's wrong, he does.
He does
follow. There we are, yeah. No, so Robin Thicke does follow Pharrell. Does Pharrell follow Robin Thicke?
Well, you would assume so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay, good.
But does T.I. follow Robin Thicke?
Oh, no, I don't think I've seen much of T.I. on Twitter, but I'm going to say yes.
Yes. Does Robin Thicke follow T.I.?
Yes.
No! Ooh. Ouch.
I think it's with things like this, it's when they're clearly selective. You know, if they're picking one, there's a reason why they're not going for the other.
Do you think?
I do in a lot of these cases, yeah.
So no follow from Robin Thicke to T.I. All the others, all fine. Now on to some very busy people at the moment, the UK's weather forecasters.
Brilliant.
Now, the BBC's Thomas Schaffernacker played innuendo bingo last week. You know Schaffernacker.
This is the rain we've seen over the last 24 hours. It just keeps on coming and coming and splashing across the south of the UK.
Now, he was on bingo last week, and to balance things out, Daybreak's Laura Tobin will be on tomorrow. So, deadly rivals or best of friends? If you don't know what Tobin sounds like...
A wet night for nearly everybody.
Yeah, that's her. She's on tomorrow. So, does Thomas Schaffernacker follow Laura Tobin?
Yes.
Yes. Does Laura Tobin follow Thomas Schaffernacker?
You'd think they'd all stick together, wouldn't you?
You'd think they're all in it together, the weather people.
Everyone loves Schaffernacker, I'm saying yes.
Yes. But what about the High Priestess of the Weather?
Good morning. Well, you can camp in all kinds of style. You can rough it if you want, or of course you can do it in grand style and luxury.
That's why the one they all look up to, surely, BBC Breakfast's Carol Kirkwood, legend. Does Thomas Schaffernacker follow Carol Kirkwood?
Yes.
Yes. Does Laura Tobin follow Carol Kirkwood?
Yes.
Yes. Does the actual Carol Kirkwood follow Laura Tobin?
Yes.
No. Oh.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Okay. And now over to another musical collaboration on this game, our Twitter game. Follow me, follow you. But who follows who? They've made a song together. They've made a video together. They promoted the song together. They've even flown to Derry for Radio 1's big weekend together. But are Dizzy Rascal and Robbie Williams really best mates or not? Does Robbie Williams follow Dizzy Rascal?
Yes.
Yes. Phew. Does Dizzy Rascal follow Robbie Williams?
Surely, yeah.
No! Ooh. Oh! Ow. I want to sort that out, Dizzy. It's The Apprentice final tonight. Now, I wonder if there are any clues about what's going to happen on Twitter. Maybe in this game we'll find out, kind of, who's going to win. So tonight, Lord Sugar will call finalists Leah and Louisa into the boardroom to find out their fate. But does Lord Sugar follow finalist of The Apprentice, Leah Totten, on Twitter? Oh,
they won't have made that mistake. Definitely, yes.
No!
Oh, surely he doesn't follow the other one.
Well, Does Lord Sugar follow Louisa Zisman on Twitter?
No.
Doesn't follow her?
No.
No, he doesn't!
Oh, okay.
Of course not. He's got no time for their silly ways and their trivial tweets. Oh, he's Lord Sugar.
I thought we were onto something there.
But you'd think the candidates would want to suck up to their potential boss, right?
Mm.
The final tonight. So, does Leah follow Alan Sugar?
Yes.
Yes, she does! But does Louisa follow the Lord?
No.
No, she doesn't!
Oh,
she doesn't follow him. That
error.
Is a massive blunder. Does that bode badly for Louisa, do we think?
No, it suggests she has a bit of a problem.
Well, we'll find out tonight, won't we, on BBC One. Oh, this is good. So, finally, we move on to showbiz's current heartbreaker-in-chief, Swiftie, Taylor Swift. She's got through boyfriends even quicker than she's got through questionable hairdos, and she's written songs about most of them. But who does she still think about, and who will she never, ever get back together with? See that? You like that? Yeah. Just going through some of the old boyfriends. Does Taylor Swift follow Joe Jonas?
Yes.
No! Does Taylor Swift follow John Mayer?
No.
No, she doesn't. Does Taylor Swift follow Harry Styles?
No.
No, but does John Mayer follow Taylor Swift?
No.
No, never getting back together. Does Joe Jonas follow Taylor?
No.
Yes, sorry though.
Oh, he does.
Never getting back together. Does Harry Styles follow Taylor Swift?
No.
Yes, he does,
oh.
But still not getting back together. And that was our favourite game from the world of Twitter. Follow me, follow you. But who follows who? Good luck in The Apprentice, Louisa. Hey, I'm Scott Mills. Hey.
This fantasy film that we're seeing tonight.
Like Grimmy's House. We're supposed to be doing like all watching the film at 6 o'clock. You can join as well. Try and get to see this film 6 p.m. tonight. We'll all watch it together, and we're going to be at Grimmy's house this evening. Fantasy, you said that was your favourite.
Yes, but it's
what,
not
what is it going to be?
No, this is it. I've now learned this. It's not what we thought.
Is it that one that I asked you off air?
I did think it was going to be one of those at first.
Or at least the sequel.
I did think it was going to be one of those.
I thought it was a bit weird that we were all watching it together, that, I did say.
Same. That's what I found odd about the whole situation, that we were all going to sit down.
What is it then?
It's a genre which is... it's like sci-fi.
Oh.
Stuff like that.
Have a word. Sci-fi is my worst.
It's not... Because at first I was like, okay, right, we're going to do this then. I'm comfortable with sitting down with Scott and Grimmy and watching something.
Yeah.
But... but then the more I thought about it, I thought, I'm not sure I am so comfortable. It turns out there's nothing to worry about.
I need to turn this music off then, right?
Yeah, it's the wrong music. What we're watching is fantasy and a film called The Fifth Element.
Will Smith, is it?
Okay, so no. No, it's not. No.
Is it Will Smith?
It's not, no.
Oh.
It's... I'm not going to lie, it looks...
boring? Is it all spaceships and that? Is it
yes,
more like this?
It's that kind of thing.
Oh. Who's in it?
Do you know what? I can't even be bothered to read the plot.
Oh, no.
Starring Bruce Willis.
Oh.
I know him. No, don't worry, that's quite a good sign. Okay. Generally, everything I've seen with him is amazing.
Is it all this effects?
And then people I've never heard of. Gary Oldman?
Oh,
Mila
no.
Jovovich?
You've never heard of Gary Oldman?
No.
Okay, good. I one step ahead.
What else do you want to know? I mean, there's not much to say.
Oh, it's... why couldn't we gone round on something about Mary Knight?
So anyway, look, that's what's going on.
We're just watching... It's 127 minutes long.
Okay.
Anyway, if you like fantasy... Oh, I thought it was that. It's not.
It's not. It's
if you like sci-fi, The Fifth Element is what we're all going to watch tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be tweeting along from Grimmy's house on the Twitter at BBCR1 as we educate Grimmy about film.
The Scott
Scott Mills Daily.
Now, can we all make this a much calmer real or no real than yesterday at this time?
Cool, that was full on, wasn't it? It was like a job centre in here.
Did you hear it?
Yes, hustling and bustling. Were you all right? I was worried about you,
I was
Chris.
All right. It ended in an arm wrestle. Oh, no. Stuff, which is not ideal.
Was that on air or off air?
On air.
Did I miss that?
It was just weird.
There was a lot going on, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Too much going on.
Yeah,
let's keep it simple.
You didn't like it, did you, Scott?
Not really, no.
Is it worth us locking the door?
Shall we?
Or maybe get a doorman, like with a velvet rope and a guest list. That'd be so cool. Some keys are in a bomber jacket.
If we had a bouncer for real or no real. Can we lock the door?
Excellent.
Right, well, there we are. That changes everything, doesn't it?
I like that.
It's Sarah Cox today on Real or No Real, and it's another movie special. Tonight, we're going to Grimmy's house to watch The Fifth Element.
Ooh.
You seen that?
Yeah. Years ago. It's one of them films that I think I've seen, like, two-thirds of it at some point.
I know that I'm going to lose interest.
Yeah. I know, Neverending Story was in the pot. That would have been better.
Yeah.
With a flying Labrador.
I just don't really do fantasy.
No.
And my imagination's not that good. Did I just say imagination? Can't even say it.
Imagination.
Let alone use it. What about this lot?
Daniel Radcliffe has worn the same shirt for his last four appearances at BBC Radio 1.
No. Unless he's one of those guys who's just got the same shirt, but he's got like 1,000 of them. And like a bit like P. Diddy or 50 Cent or whatever, he like never wears the same shirt twice. So he just wears it, takes it off, chucks it and gets it the exact same one the next day, like a new one.
Well, maybe he thinks to himself, well, I haven't really done a hard day's work in it, not like a full 8-hour graft, so I'll take it off, hang it up and just get out again next time.
Yeah, maybe just because he probably just changes instantly into loungewear when he gets in.
I'm imagining that.
Bit of velour.
I'm not sure. I can't remember what shirt he was wearing this morning. It was just a white shirt, wasn't it?
White, blue-ish shirt, was it?
No, it can't be true that he can... I mean, he's done very well out of the Harry Potter franchise.
He can afford new shirts.
He can definitely afford shirts.
Yeah.
But then if not, he could swap and flip-flop with a Weasley.
Mm. But then he also has the money that if he likes one shirt, he can buy a million of that shirt.
Yeah, just be like... I mean? Or if he gets photographed in one the first time he was at Radio 1, he probably just got sent loads then. Mm.
It's a bit like my dad. When my dad finally finds a shirt that he likes in the shop, Pete Mills will buy 5 or 6 of them.
In different colours?
No, same colour.
Same colour.
So I think that might be what Daniel's done here.
Could be, then. You got me thinking now.
So, Daniel Radcliffe has worn the same shirt the last three times at Radio 1. Real or no real?
No real.
I'm going to have to say no real.
That one is no real.
Of course not. He's a billionaire. And next...
Red Pepper, the voiceover man who voiced the trailers for Independence Day, Armageddon, The Dark Knight, and hundreds of other films, used to be a train driver on the London Underground and was spotted by a studio executive while asking customers to mind the gap.
Shut up.
So the guy that just goes...
One man.
It was a time of war.
Yeah.
Him.
Wow.
I can see this happening because you get spotted somewhere, don't you? Like, there was this brilliant video ages and ages ago, and it was a guy who... I think it was a homeless guy, but had the most incredible radio voice.
Yes, I saw this.
And he had a sign. I think that's how he earned money. Cars would stop just to hear his... get him to do jingles and stuff.
Yeah, he'd been homeless for years, and then some executive heard him, and now he's on like pretty much every voiceover in America. It's either him or
the radio,
and on the radio.
Is it Phil Taggart?
No,
he's got a touch of the hobo.
He does, doesn't he?
He does a bit. He always looks like he's walking up on someone else's couch and he's had to borrow a t-shirt and then like, oh, these don't really fit, but I'll wear these trousers anyway, and then staggers into work.
All right, Phil, is it a special brew at 11 again? Is it?
Though I love him,
I do.
Now then, well, yeah, that. Could, so what? You'd be going, hey, lady. There's a gap.
Yeah.
And mind
the
it.
Gap.
And they go, hey, you'd be brilliant. But I don't think it's true. Is he English, this Red Pepper guy?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Oh, real then.
I'm going to say, I don't want to copy you every time, but I'm going to have to say real.
It's like when you get that press release about singers and they're like, they were spotted on the London Underground and now they're really famous. I don't believe it. When they say they've been spotted just like busking or something, it's like, oh, come on. Okay, you're both saying real.
Yes.
That one is real.
Oh, wicked. Yeah. Excellent.
Yes. We had him on our show once and he told us that whole story.
Next.
According to a 2010 survey, there are more unwatched copies of The Da Vinci Code on DVD than there are unread copies of the book.
Oh, hang on, that's frozen in my brain. What does that mean?
Okay, so more people gave up on Da Vinci Code film than book.
Oh, it's a very long film, isn't it? Though it's a long book. But yeah, no, I think that's real, actually. I can believe that. Who's in it? Tom Hanks. No, I do like him. But it was very different to Forrest Gump, wasn't it? The Da Vinci Code.
Slightly, yeah.
The code is like a box of chocolates.
Not the same.
Yeah, not the same.
It's one of those films that I just see the title and go, no.
No.
Oof, that's exactly what I do.
Too much work.
Too long films as well these days. I've not once 90 minutes is up, that's it. I'm done.
Films these days.
Yeah, because I'm sure these, apart from Gandhi.
We're going to struggle with The Fifth Element tonight.
I've never heard of it.
127 minutes.
I heard them talking about it earlier.
Over
how
2 hours.
Long?
127 minutes.
But we can fast forward.
I almost birthed in that time.
No.
Too long. Too long.
I know
long.
You did.
You were there. Scott was DJing the births of my children.
Have you ever DJed a birth, Scott?
Not yet, but I'm open to offers. Scott.mills at BBC.
It's a business idea, do we think?
Yeah.
You have DJs everywhere.
You could offer that.
He was astounded to find a DJ in a shop the other day.
Oh, what's that about?
What, behind some decks?
Yeah. They have decks in the shop. I didn't quite understand
the
point.
Did you get a shout out, like, you know, the man by the... Trousers.
I don't know if they did check. We should have asked him for a shout out.
It's when we were buying his boat shoes for the regatta.
Oh, yeah, it was the regatta. I've not seen yet.
Yeah, it was all right.
So, did more people give up on Da Vinci Code film than book?
Yes.
Real or no real?
No real.
That one is no real.
Ah! That's stupid anyway. Would they have all those unwatched DVDs? It's so stupid, isn't it?
Next.
David Tennant, star of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, St. Trinian's 2, The Legend of Fitton's Gold, and Postman Pat, the movie, marks his territory by urinating in the back garden of his house, thereby scaring away urban foxes and other pests.
I thought you meant when he got to the film set, like round his Winnebago.
Yeah. I've often considered doing this because the foxes are a nightmare around my way and they don't care.
Does it work?
I haven't tried it yet, but I think it does.
Would it work better if David Tennant came and did it in your back garden? Is there something special about him? He eats a lot of asparagus or something.
He's the doctor. Yeah. Was.
I like that when you become such a big actor, you could get away with turning up at, say, a film set, urinating. And
you could
just
do the whole lot.
To accept it. Like,
yeah, you know, you could
do it all. I've got one of these devices actually that I got the other day on my Friday night trip to a homeware store. It's my life.
Yeah.
And it emits loud, like, we can't hear it, but foxes and cats can hear it.
I thought this was a weeing device.
No. I did get an attachment for the hose, but that is strictly for the kitchen tap. Imagine Ben coming home from work. I'm like, showing the garden. Hose attached. No, it's this thing that does like a beep noise.
I used to have them for mice.
Oh, no.
Does it work? Really?
Yeah, in my house. It was only a noise that mice could hear. And as soon as they hear it, they cover their ears and go, I don't like the noise.
It's a little mouse with its hands up. It's
I'm not sure about that because humans must hear it. And didn't they do this with shops once? Aren't they called like mosquitoes or something like that, where they emit a loud noise? And the idea was it was to drive groups of teenagers away. I was like, what?
No, yeah, that's what they played. Like, I think they just played M People really loudly outside of chippies and off licenses and stuff.
What have you done today? Oh, I'm off.
I'm off to go and study.
Yeah, but I developed a good love of classical music because they played it to try and drive people like me away. Yeah, because we still hung out there. I got to like the classical music.
And fried chicken. So you put on weight because you were outside of that shop. Wow, that's amazing.
But does David Tennant keep the urban foxes away by weeing?
Real.
I'm going to say real.
Think about it, everybody. There he is in the back garden. Creating a small circle.
That one is real.
Wow!
Yeah. Good on you, Tennant.
That is excellent.
I'm going to do that tonight.
Do it tonight, Scott. Promise me.
I'm going to do that because they keep going up against the fence and doing their stuff.
I'll tell you who.
Oh, I don't think they make that noise.
It's an awful
they
noise.
They don't sound like they're having a great time, but apparently.
Let's help Grimmy out with his urban foxes and do it in his garden.
Okay, tonight. So we on his fence
tonight.
Yeah, okay, because I bet he's got loads.
Just to help.
Right. Okay.
Deal. Yeah.
All right. Okay. At the end of that,
I scored 40. Mm. Full house, and Sarah scored 30.
Oh.
Could do better.
Yeah, undone by the Da Vinci Code.
Are you not coming to Grimmy's house tonight, though?
No, I'm not.
I don't do fantasy.
It's about to, oh, it's so boring, the reasons why I can't, but it's a logistical nightmare.
Oh, is it as boring as The Fifth Element?
No, not quite. Yeah, I'd rather be running children to play dates and back again than do that. No, but I might go and try and watch tomorrow night. But anyway, enjoy tonight.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and enjoy it, even though it's probably my least favourite genre.
Yeah, well, let me know how Weegate goes on anyway.
Yeah, okay.
That's somewhere positive.
That's something we can do halfway through when we get bored.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Tomorrow, we're back on your radio at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 1. And Daybreak's Laura Tobin is playing Innuendo Bingo, all about the weather. My prediction is wet. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.